I wonder what you were thinking as that psalm was being read through. What was your initial reaction? Obviously, I don't know, but I do know that some people have found this a particularly challenging psalm. One commentator even describes it as austere, that is, severe or strict. There is something really challenging about this that people feel. And we don't have to look too far before we recognize what that is. It is the holiness of God that is writ large for us in this psalm. In the Old Testament and in the New, God is three times holy. That is, he is intensely holy. It's there for us in Isaiah chapter 6 and also in Revelation chapter 4. And it's here for us again in this psalm. It's in verse 3, it's in verse 5, and it's in verse 9. Not once, not twice, but on three occasions, God is described as holy. And that holiness is so important, so central to the character of God, and so we need to reckon with it. But we do find it scary. And actually, if we don't sort of have that reaction, then I don't think we're getting to the reality of this psalm. The psalm tells us the earth shakes, God is awesome, the nations tremble. And if we're not trembling ever so slightly, perhaps we have missed something essential about the holiness of God. And so for these reasons, this psalm can be challenging. But I have a deep conviction that this psalm is wonderful, that actually it's not austere at all, that God's holiness is good news for us in the way that it's expounded in this psalm. In fact, the whole psalm is full of wonderful, glorious good news. And it's a great privilege to be able to go through it with you. So Psalm 99, and the first thing, just to underscore this, we see that God is holy. And when we think about the meaning of holiness, we will often and very correctly think of purity. God is perfectly pure, perfectly sinless. But another dimension to holiness is difference and distinctiveness. And obviously the two things mesh together. God is distinctively pure. That is his holiness. And it's that sense of distinction, that sense of difference that is writ large here in this psalm. We see that God is exalted. He is high over all. And we are at his footstool worshipping. So God is high and we are low. There is a difference, there is a distinctiveness when we compare ourselves to our holy, holy, holy God. As one commentator has said, God is wholly other. That is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, completely. He is completely different. He is completely distinctive. And so we just catch a glimpse of God's distinctiveness, his holiness, his awesomeness, the fact that he is high and we are low. We catch that glimpse here in this psalm. And it's good just to pause and to really reckon with it and to make sure this is part of our thinking. God is great and mighty and awesome and holy. As a preacher of old said, he is our almighty. He is not our almighty. Sometimes we can be too familiar And I don't want this to be overdone, because God in Jesus is our friend, and that's wonderful, wonderful good news. He is present with us by the Holy Spirit, but God is holy and pure. He is holy, 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 and we worship at his footstool. Said that this is good news, and it's good news because God in his grace and mercy draws us into relationship with him and makes holiness wonderfully possible for us, not in the same way that God is holy, but he wants us to share his life and share his character. And so the psalm reminds us that he has spoken to us through his word. He has given us his statutes and his decrees, and he calls us into relationship with him, giving us the power, giving us the words, the understanding, but also the power that we can grow in holiness personally. So God is holy, and we are to be holy too. How is God leading you on in holiness right now? How is God leading me on? What is it that you and God are working on at the moment? Perhaps something's come up in your Inspire band, if you are part of one. Perhaps something in discussion in a small group or with friends. Perhaps something that you know that God is prompting you about individually, perhaps in your own reading and prayers. How is God prompting you? How is God leading you forward? Holiness is a journey for us, a journey towards our good and gracious God. May we as his people not settle for a low level of holiness, but push on to be all that he calls us to be and do. God is holy, and we are called to be holy too. Wonderfully and challengingly flowing out of his holiness, God is also a God of justice. We see that in verse 4. He is a God of justice and equity. Spoken about this already, but we need to keep talking about issues of justice, and specifically racial justice, in the wake of the racist murder of George Floyd. And here we see that God is a God of justice. And we need to have this front and center of our life as a church. We have a purpose statement already. We follow the God who calls us into relationship, and he calls us to have a passion for him, a love for people, and a heart for mission. We have six values that we have taken on board as a church: following Jesus, word and spirit, engaging in mission, embracing adventure, growing community, and being faithful in prayer. But there's also another layer for us to work out. And as we are thinking at the moment about time to reset, now is the time to forge ahead. What is the specific vision? How do we work out our purpose and our values over the next 5 years? And so we need a more detailed vision that links with these values, that links with our purpose as a whole church. I want to propose that part of that vision is a vision for racial justice and a vision for multicultural church. Galatians 3:28, there is now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one in Christ Jesus. And we see that there are different forms of justice that we need to practice, but I don't want to move on too quickly today from racial justice. I believe we should have a vision, because I think it's a God-given vision of a multicultural community where people are not only welcomed, but also included. Black people, other people of colour, not just a welcome, but that radical inclusion. So there is inclusion in leadership, inclusion in shaping, inclusion in challenging us as a church, a true community of equals, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. I hope and pray that this will be at the very heart of our vision as we move forward together. So God is holy and he calls us to be holy. God is just and he calls us to be just. And God is merciful and forgiving. We see that towards the end of our reading, where we read that God is a forgiving God to the people of Israel. It's in verse 8. But this is in no way tacked on to the end of the psalm. If you follow this through with me, the very fact that God is calling people to worship him, verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name. The very fact that he calls us in that way is a sign of his grace and mercy. A holy God, someone who is wholly other, calling us to worship him. His commitment to Jacob in verse 4. Jacob here used as another name for Israel, but Jacob of all the Old Testament characters, someone who was a twister, a schemer, a deceiver, and yet God's love is for Jacob. God wants to work in Jacob. Such is his mercy, such is his grace, such as is his forgiveness. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name in verse 6. And these guys weren't plaster saints. They got things wrong. And yet God called them to follow him, to live for him. And it's not just them. They are among his priests. They are among those who call on the name of the Lord. There are many others who are going to come, and that includes you and me. In Jesus, God's love for us is strong and sure, and his gracious forgiveness pours down to us today. We read here of priests, and Jesus is our great high priest who stands in the gap between us and God and speaks to God on our behalf and speaks words from God to us, good and gracious words, the wonderful, amazing, superabundant forgiveness of God. I pray that we receive God's holiness today. There's an Ernest Hemingway story, short story, The Capital of the World. And right at the beginning, Hemingway tells a little anecdote about a boy called Paco who is living in Madrid. And Paco is a very common name in Spain. It's short for Francisco. And this particular Paco has fallen out with his father. Paco has actually done wrong and he has sinned against his father. He's rebelled and the father is desperate to make contact again. Paco has run away from home, assuming that there is no forgiveness for him. And so the father puts an advert in a Madrid newspaper. Paco, all is forgiven. Love, Papa. Meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon. The father wonders, will Paco pick up my message? And he is amazed to arrive at the hotel and see not just one teenage man, not just eight, not just 80, but 800 young men who had gathered together, all named Paco, all hoping desperately that the message was from their father and was for them. There is something about the need for forgiveness and grace that is universal. And the good, good news of this psalm, why it is not austere, why it is not forbidding, is that it shows us that God is both holy and loving. He is for us and he comes down to us. Yes, there is a great gap, high and low, but the exalted God comes down to us in Jesus and he says, if you put your faith in me, you are forgiven. And of course, that amazing forgiving grace is not just for conversion. It's not just for first time commitment to Jesus. It is day by day by day, because this psalm is a psalm of journey, speaking of the people in the wilderness who were journeying with God and who heard his statutes and put them into practice. Forgiving grace and transforming grace. Grace so that we can be people of justice and people of holiness. People of grace also, those who reflect this wonderful dimension of the character of God and dispense grace to others. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful psalm this is. Not austere at all. Challenging, most certainly, but full of grace from beginning to end. May we respond to our good and gracious God, the one who calls us into holiness, the one who calls us to be people of justice, the one who calls us to receive his grace and to share that grace with others. Let's be individual disciples like that. Let's be a people of God like that. Crag, Connect and Copper Beach and Headingley, wherever your site is, whatever your calling is, if you're listening in from another place, let's be people like that for the grace of God and by his amazing grace in Jesus.